Listening Library presents Legends and Lore, Ireland's Folk Tales by Michael Scott. Read for you by Alan Kelly. Introduction. When people think of Irish folklore, usually the first creature who comes to mind is the leprechaun. They're sure to know about the banshee, the fairy woman who sings to warn of a death in the family, and St. Patrick is always mentioned. But that's probably all they know. While everyone is familiar with the Egyptian, Greek, and Roman gods, few can name any of the Irish gods and goddesses. Danu and the Dagda, Banba, or even Manannan, Lord of the Sea. Everyone knows about the Kraken, the Gorgon, or the Minotaur. But outside the Celtic Isles, few know about the serpent Ilafaisht, the Far Girtha, the Walking Dead, the Dullahan, the Headless Horseman, or the Merrow, the underwater people who have feet instead of fishtails. Where other cultures went into the underground, the Irish went to the other world, and there were different types of other worlds. The Paradise, Magmel, Tir na n-Og, the Land of the Young, Tir Fochuin, the Land Beneath the Waves. There were fairy mounds in the earth and floating islands off the coast and in the middle of lakes. The Irish stories survived intact because the country was never invaded by the Greeks or Romans, and because Ireland has its own native language, Irish. It is a most beautiful and expressive language. Banshee comes from Banshee, which means fairy woman. The skeletal Far Girtha is the man of hunger, and Ilafaisht comes from great worm. Translate place names from English into Irish and you can begin to see the history of the place. Dublin comes from Dublin, the black pool around which the original town was built. Derry was originally Dira, which means a grove of oaks. Belfast comes from Bell, meaning mouth, because it is at the mouth of a river. Galiv, which means stony, became Galway. Wrapped in this language are the most incredible stories, which I've been collecting for many years. Here are just a few of my favourites. King of the Leprechauns. One cold, bitter night, when the stars were hard and sharp and brilliant, spelling out their patterns across the skies, the small folk came to the land of Erin in the metal ships of the Two-Headed Danann. As humans measure time, that was many thousands of years ago, though the small folk are long-lived and so it may seem like less time to them. This is the story of their coming, and of the next great king of the leprechauns. The leprechauns came to the tiny island that would one day become the land of Erin when the world was young. They had travelled across the vast western sea from the land of the Dedannan folk, which they had been forced to flee when the ground started shifting and moving. In a single night, the mountains had spat fire and churning mud had burst up from the seabed. The seas had risen and the waters had turned to boiling. Many of the Dedannan folk believed that they had angered their terrible goddess, the Lady Danu, but no one knew how or why. The small folk, who knew the ways of the wind and waves, the patterns of the earth and rivers, knew that the island of the Dedannan was threatened with destruction. And so, while others huddled in their cellars and temples, praying to their goddess, the leprechauns had loaded up the huge metal ships with goods and tools, with sacks of grain, dried meat and hard bread, with healing herbs and the seeds of rare trees and bushes, and a few of the ancient books and charts of the Dedannan. And they sailed away just in time. On the morning of the fifth day since they had sailed from the Isle of the Dedannan, Niall, the king of the leprechauns, called his sons together. The king was the oldest of the small folk. Some even said he was the oldest creature in the world, that he had walked the world in the time of the dragons, before the first humans had appeared. He was taller than most of the small folk. His back was straight, his hair and beard were snow-white, and only his face, which was a mass of wrinkles, betrayed his great age. The king had two sons, but they were half-brothers who looked nothing alike. One was named Gilla, whose mother had been from the Fir Darraig, the Red Folk tribe, He was small and red-faced, with a large, bulbous nose and a mass of red hair and freckles. His clothing was of differing shades of red and bronze, and his temper was just as fierce. And then there was Seamus Bon. His mother had been Niall's second wife, and she had been from the leprechaun tribe, which made Seamus a full-blooded leprechaun. Seamus was tall and thin, with coal-black hair. When Seamus and Gilla were called, their father was standing in the prow of the boat, his left arm wrapped around the neck of the huge dragon-shaped figurehead, his right hand shading his eyes. He peered through the shifting clouds of fog and dust that had surrounded the ship since they had left the Dedannan Isle. Seamus stood on his father's right-hand side, while Gilla took up the position on his left. Without looking at either of them, Niall spoke very softly.
"We must find land soon. Our supplies cannot last much longer."
He suddenly turned around and leaned with his back against the figurehead, his arms folded across his barrel chest. He looked at each of the boys in turn. When he spoke again, his voice was low and serious.
"You know that there will come a day when I will leave this world and go on the last great journey that every living creature makes. I am no longer young, and that day draws ever nearer. I must choose a successor. I must decide which one of you will be king of the small folk, king of the leprechauns."
"I am the firstborn,"
Gilla said immediately. Niall nodded.
"You are? But you are not pure-blooded leprechaun, and while Seamus Bon is, he is the second-born. If the truth is to be told, then neither of you can claim kingship. However, I have reached a decision."
"What sort of decision?" Seamus asked quietly. He was aware that his half-brother was glowering at him, his face becoming redder and redder. Gilla was 2 years older than Seamus, and there was little brotherly love between them.
"I have decided to set both of you a task. Whichever one of you completes that task will be the new king of the leprechauns."
"That sounds easy enough," Gilla said. "I'm stronger and faster than Seamus Bon, so it should be no problem."
Niall smiled.
"Ah, but I'm not going to give you a simple test of strength or speed. This task will require skill and cunning."
He stepped away from the figurehead and took two steps before he stopped and looked back at the half-brothers.
"Whoever finds land, new land, fresh green land, for our people, will be the next king of the leprechauns."
And then he turned and walked away, leaving the half-brothers looking at each other in amazement. Finally, Gilla left too.
"Don't bother looking," he told Seamus roughly. "I will find the land. I will be king of the leprechauns."
In the days that followed, both Gilla and Seamus pored over the few Dedannan books and charts that had been brought along, looking for anything, a clue, a hint, a suggestion, that might give them some indication of where new land might lie. They found nothing. Finally, Seamus decided that there was nothing more he could do. The chart showed nothing. The sailors knew nothing. Maybe there was no land, he thought. Maybe they were doomed to sail on until they fell off the edge of the world. Seamus went and stood beside the figurehead, staring out at the great banks of fog, listening to the waves slapping against the sides of the craft, and dreaming of land. And that was when he spotted the bird. For a single moment, Seamus wondered if it was a figment of his imagination and the fog. It was the first creature he had seen since the small folk had left the Dedannan Isle. And where there were birds, there was land. Seamus's excited shouts brought the whole crew running. But by the time they had gathered around, the bird had vanished back into the fog. He pointed into the shifting wall of grey.
"There was a bird, a seabird, with a black head and black-tipped wings," he shouted excitedly. "It must have been heading toward land."
"Well, there's no bird there now," Gilla said, his eyes small and black in his red face. There was, Seamus insisted.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?